All right, Rabosai, good evening, good evening. First of all, Mazel Tov to Adam David Edelman on the engagement of his daughter Ella. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Simchas, brachas to Yehuda, Yehuda Deutsch. Maishi. Not Moshe, Maishi. Got it. Yeah, listen, this is not like a therapy session. It's just the Mazel Tov. That was it. You're already getting into too much. Like I said, Mazel Tov to the Edelman Mishpacha on Ella's engagement in Meretz Hashem. The Edelman Mishpacha should keep running from Simcha to Simcha, from Mazel to Mazel, Me'eva Esrim Shanim Tavos. So with that, let us begin. So we are beginning tonight in Meretz Hashem, and we're continuing in Hilchos Zorea. So in Meretz Hashem, I thought we were going to finish up Zorea tonight. Turns out they're probably going to go into a little bit of next week as well, because we're going to see actually there's a fascinating subtopic that I want to spend a little bit of time on. So let's continue. So let's just remember again, we actually finished last week's Ma'ar Makomos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we finished last week's Ma'ar Makomos. Good. So remember again, just to redefine our Malacha of Zorea, so Zorea is any act which causes, facilitates, or improves the growth of a plant. So now again, about to take a look at number one. I actually mentioned this last week outside, but now let's see it inside. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh li yizor mila hashlich zira'im b'mokom yiridas gesham sushtofan lahatzmiach. Person has to be careful about throwing seeds in any area where there's rainfall, out of the possibility, ultimately, again, that the seeds could germinate and grow. So if you remember, again, I will say last week, this is the same Shulchan Aruch, this is the same Sif that talks about the chicken feed, right? How you have to be careful when throwing out feed for your chickens, that you throw out enough for a day or for two, but not for more than that. So again, along these same lines, halacha l'maisa, so get this last week. You're sitting outside on a nice summer day, a little bit of a contrast, right? Chadesh Aminuk Yikadim. So sitting outside on a summer day, you're eating a peach, and again, you just want to throw the pit on the ground. You're not allowed to do that. An apple core, can't do that. Even grape seeds, right? Grape seeds, watermelon seeds, right? You just want to spit out and spit onto the ground. Halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch says you can't spit seeds onto soil. Ultimately, again, where it has the ability to grow and to germinate. Now, obviously, again, this is only assuming we're talking about soil where there's a possibility for growth. So, for example, on sand or things like that where there's no possibility for growth, this issue does not come up. Number two, Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Another interesting halacha here. Aval ha'ochlim beganos asurim lito yedeim al ha'asavim shemashkim osam. So here's an interesting case. The Shulchan Aruch writes that if somebody's eating outdoors, literally eating in the garden, so of course you can't wash your hands over the grass, right? So again, let's say it's a beautiful summer day. I want to have my Shabbos Su'udah outside, right? I mean, lunch, eating Shalosh Shudis, so I have to do Netilas Adayim. So I want to wash my hands over the ground. You're not allowed to do that. He says, Afapi she'ena mechavnin. Even though, again, it's not my kavana to water the grass or to water the vegetation, nevertheless, psik reshu. It's a psikeresha. So we'll say this halacha is pretty intuitive, right? It makes a lot of sense that halacha means obviously you can't pour water onto the ground, onto plants, onto grass. Now here's what's interesting: aval mutar lahatil bahem miraglayim oshar mashkin she'ena matzmichin. So apparently, what you can do is you could urinate. Again, not at the Shabbos Suda. I want to divide the cases a little bit over here, right? But this is what's interesting. What's interesting is, even though, again, I didn't get a chance to Google this. I'm always nervous to Google stuff like this because you never know exactly what comes up. But it was interesting because, given the fact that urine, I don't know what the percentage is about urine, how much, Dr. Weinberg, how much of urine is water?
A lot.
Is that the technical medical Not good. So it's interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch says, even though, again, some amount of it is water, the Shulchan Aruch understands that urine is not beneficial for plant growth. So interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that one is permitted to urinate on plants or on grass, or for that matter, it's not just urine, but it's any liquid which would not facilitate growth. So just to give an extreme example, if one were to pour bleach on grass, so ultimately, again, there's no issue of zorea over there, which of course makes sense. Hagos. So we'll say, so two contrasting cases. Case number one, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about that you can't go ahead and wash your hands over the grass. And case number two, where you can urinate on the grass, or for that matter, pour any liquid which would not facilitate growth. Hagos, the Rama says, V'lochein tov lahachmir shelo le'echol baganos. This is interesting. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, it is better to avoid eating in the grassy areas, right? Or areas on Shabbos. Better. Also, because think about it again, even any kind of spillage that may occur, you may also run into a problem. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, better not to eat your meals on Gonos, im yishtamish sham im mayim. If you have any liquids there, water, any other liquid that can facilitate growth, better not to. Debekoshi yesh li zar shalo yiplu shamayim. Now, just to be clear, the Rama is not saying that it's usher. It's a nice Shabbos and I want to eat my suud outdoors. The Rama is not saying it's usher. He's just saying you have to be careful, right? Because even inadvertently, one could come to go ahead and be over on the malacha of Zorea. Okay. I'm sorry? 100%. 100%. So sure, people were starting to get together and they were eating outdoors. 100%. And again, what the Rama is just adding in over here is we'll say, obviously, there's two cases. Obviously, actively washing your hands over the grass, okay? But even just inadvertent spillage, which is part and parcel of almost every single meal, one runs into a potential issue of Zorea as well. I'm sorry? Oh, take a look at number three. So in the Sefer Chot HaShani, look what he writes over. He says, Ein Isser Lirok Ktsas B'Shabbos Al Gabi Karko Al Gabi Zoran. Says there is no problem spitting. Baruch Shehivanto. No problem. Now he says Lirok Ktsas. Spitting a little bit on ground or even on seeds. He says Kevan She'ein Derech Lahashkos Zra'im Al Yidei Rok. Since again, that's not the normal way. In other words, no one goes ahead and waters seeds like that with saliva. And a little bit of saliva is not going to do anything ultimately, again, for the growth of the seeds. Now, I will say, that is the Chot HaShani. Now, conventional wisdom is, we still avoid it. But where did this come up? I don't know. Let's say a person is not feeling well and they have phlegm that they want to expel. So a person doesn't have to walk around with it in their mouth until they get home. You know, again, one would be permitted to go ahead and expel that on the ground. Now, ideally, it would be better to do it on concrete than it is to do it on grass or on plant life. But again, Me'ikir Adin, the Chot HaShani says, it's not a problem. Okay. So the answer here's the problem. The problem is you're going to get into still a psychrasia situation, right? Because now, if you go wash your hands on the driveway and it's very possible for the water to remain contained on the driveway and not spill off, then einachinami, you probably could do that. But chances are, on a driveway, it's going to run into grass. So you're really going to run into a psychrasia situation. Take a look at number four. So now we come to a very interesting sugya about flowers on Shabbos, flowers and water. Now, remember, there's two issues when it comes to flowers. One is a potential mukta issue, which we're not going to deal with over here. Here we get something very interesting. Look at number four. It's actually the Rama. So the Rama in Shin Lamed Vav, Sif Yirav. We'll say all of this is Simon Shin Lamed Vav. He writes over as follows. Hagav. Umotra lahamit anfe ilonos b'mayim b'Shabbos. Now, we'll say, literally translated, anfe ilonos means branches. Branches. But again, for our purposes, we could just as easily substitute branches with flowers. I think it's just an easier way to read the Shulchan Aruch. So you are permitted to go ahead and put flowers into water on Shabbos. Fascinating. Put flowers and waters into Shabbos. But there are a couple of caveats. Obilvad shelo yuhu bahem prachim v'shoshanim shein niftachim melachluchis hamayim. Now, I will say, the caveat is they can't be the type of flowers or branches for that matter, that will open up as a result of the water, right? Again, we've spoken about this many times, about the obligation that a person has to buy his wife flowers on Erev Shabbos. It's not a nice thing. It's not a romantic thing. It's just stam adin in hakaras hatov. A wife does everything. And again, a husband, the least hakaras hatov is Shabbos to come home with flowers, not Trader Joe's flowers. Not Trader Joe's flowers, right? Real flowers, like from a florist. Right? So I'll say, so again, that's the, or at least if it's Trader Joe's, you have a question on that?
I'm not arguing that either.
Yeah.
If the flowers of the branch are not
going to
open up on Shabbos, why
are
you putting...
Hold up. So let me give the background to this. So we'll say, now remember again, you could buy flowers that are closed, right? And then ultimately, again, when you put them in water, they'll open up. So the Shulchan Aruch says something very interesting. You could put flowers in water on Shabbos as long as whatever's open, it already opened. But if you're going to put in a flower, like you're never seen, you see this all the time, like with roses or with tulips, where often you'll purchase a flower that's closed, right? And then again, over time, the bulb opens up. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't put into water. So let's take a step back over this.
It's not immediate, it's eventual. So
Let me paint the picture over here. So I'll say, so remember again, technically speaking, when something is detached from the ground, it's no longer growing. Right? So therefore again, the act of putting cut flowers into water is not Zorea. Why is it not Zorea? Because there's no further growth. The flower is not growing. It's done. It doesn't matter if you put it in forward or don't put plant nutrients in there. It's once it's detached from the ground, it is no longer going to grow. Now, therefore, again, technically speaking, mid'oraisa, putting flowers into water is not a problem. What the Shulchan Aruch is highlighting over here is that there are certain times or certain circumstances where there will still be an iser derabanan. So now the Shulchan Aruch says, for example, what's a case where there'd be an iser derabanan? Where the bulbs are going to open up. Why? Why is there an Issa D'Rabbanan there? What do you think? Why is there an Issa D'Rabbanan? It looks like Zorea. Again, remember, I want to be clear. It's not Zorea. Once something is detached from the ground, it is no longer subject to the din of Zorea. So there is no D'Oraisa issue over here. But again, and you could see this intuitively. Putting flowers into water and then the bulbs opening up an hour later, 2 hours later, 2 days later, at the end of the day, Lemaisa has the appearance of Zorah. So be it Isra Drabanan. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying over here. He says again, so let's analyze this a bit more. So take a look at Mishnah Berurah number 5. So he says, Lahamid Anfeilanos, Shekotetzin Bimosachama, I'm sorry, number 5, the Mishnah Berurah, Sifka and Nun Gimel. Shekotetzin Bimosachama, Lismach Bahen Babayis, Beratzalama Shehuchnu Me Esmolakach, Avastan Anfeilan Havim Mukta. Okay, so obviously, we're not going to get into this right now. This is the Mukta piece that I was talking about. We're just going to sidestep that for a little bit. Take a look at, still in source number 5, Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Nun Dalet. This is incredibly important. Look what he writes over here. So I will say, if you notice, the Shulchan Aruch number 4 referenced us to Simin Taf Reish Nun Dalet. Simin Taf Reish Nun Dalet is the halachas of Lulav and Esrog, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. So look at Mishnah Berurah, source number 5, Sifkat Nun Dalet. Rotzel Omar, the Sham Mevuar, the Eino Mutter B'Shabbos Kim Lahachzir B'Mayim Sha'am Dubo, Mikvar be'erev Shabbos. So Rabbi say, here's, so now Mishnah Berurah does something very interesting. When you look at number four, and the Ramah said, Mutra lahamid anfe ilonas b'mayim b'Shabbos, you could put flowers into water on Shabbos. It sounds like what? Even l'chatchila, right? I brought my wife home flowers on Erev Shabbos. It was a busy Erev Shabbos. She only realizes after Shabbos started, she didn't put the flowers in water. Sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that you could put the flowers into water on Shabbos. As long as the bulbs won't open up. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the first thing and says, no, that's not the halacha. The halacha is, if the flowers were already in water on Shabbos, and then ultimately, again, they were removed, they could be put back into water on Shabbos. I don't know, whatever. You know, you were moving the vase. You didn't want to move everything together. So you took the flowers out and moved the vase. You could put the flowers back into the water like that. Go back to Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Lahachzir b'mayim sha'amdu bo mikvar yom, v'lo lahosif od mayim tzoninim." You can't add any more water. V'choshken shal lahachlif ha'mayim legamri. You can't change the water. He says, "V'lefizeh hadikasav mikodem demutar lahamidon." So we'll say, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, if flowers were in water, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and for some reason you took them out on Shabbos, you could put them back in on Shabbos. Put them back in. No, it's not like Bishol. Not like, No. In other words, you'd be able to go ahead and put it back in. This is very important. Sugar? Look at you. Because the truth is, putting sugar, you can't, the same way you can't change the water, or you can't add water, you can't add anything to the mixture over here. The idea that the first opinion is saying is, if you took them out, you can put that back in. He says, afilu in kvar nitlu mehen, avalo lahamidan lechatchila. So we'll say, this is incredibly important. So now he's quoting over here, the Chachma Sadam. This being the Chachma Sadam, that the halacha is that what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Rama is saying is, if flowers were in water at the start of Shabbos, and for some reason you took them out, whatever the reason is, ultimately you could put them back in. But what can't you do? You can't put flowers into water lechatchila for the first time on Shabbos, nor can you add water, nor can you exchange water. Now watch this. V'yeshachronim. So we'll say the second opinion of Mishnah Berurah. V'yeshachronim shesobrim. The midistam hamechaber mashma dafil lechatchilu motol amidam bekad sheyesh bo mayim mizumanim me'erev Shabbos. V'lo amru ela lohosif atam mayim mishum tircha yisera. Second opinion says about say they know. Even lechatchila you could put flowers into water on Shabbos. Incredible,
even
right?
If it's going to,
No, no, no. If it's going to open, everyone agrees you can't do it. Right? That's every...
Well, Erev Shabbos should put it in. It's going to open on Shabbos. I'll saw
it. No, that's Erev Shabbos.
So, right, put it in Erev Shabbos, but it's a possibility that it'll blot on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's fine. In other words, remember, Malacha always happens in our homes on Shabbos, right? You put food in your crock pot. It's cooking on Shabbos. Yeah, no, no, no. This is a din ultimately. When he talks about blossoming, it's a din on Shabbos itself. Shabbos says, so that the second opinion says something very interesting. So the second opinion says, no, you're even lechatchila allowed to put flowers into water on Shabbos. So now watch this. In other words, Shabbos just plays according to the second opinion. I bring my iPhone flowers on Shabbos. She forgot to put it in the vase before Shabbos. Now I come up from shul. I see the flowers are on the counter. I say, no, I'm going to put them. According to second opinion, you could put the flowers into the vase on Shabbos itself. What can't you do? You can't go ahead and add more water or exchange the water. Why? Tircha yisera. We have this concept by Hilchos Shabbos, tircha yisera, of ultimately, again, unnecessary or excessive expenditure of effort. So Rabbosai, so a fundamental machlokis over here between what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Ramah is saying. Opinion number one, that the Ramah is saying that you can never put flowers lechatchila into water on Shabbos, just if they were there already on Shabbos and you took them out, you could return them, right? But according to that opinion, even though you could return it, you can't add water, you can't exchange water. Second opinion, you could even lechatchila put flowers into water. Now, Bosse, it's interesting, by the way, the way he phrases it over here is you could put flowers into water into a vase that was prepared already on Erev Shabbos. So in other words, because Rabbi said, if you start filling up the vase, right, then the problem just is that what? That there's tircha yisera involved. So second opinion would say, if everything was ready, just you didn't put the flowers in, you could even lechatchila put the flowers in on Shabbos. Now, look at the last line of the Mishnah, Ravida, the b'yeshpem prachim, and Chaim, this is your point, the b'yeshpem prachim, sheneftochim machmos hamayim, asu lekuli ama af lahachzir mayim, shandu anekvar. Rabbi said, everyone agrees that what? That if these flowers have the type of bulb that's going to open up once it comes into water, everyone agrees that you can't put it back into water on Shabbos, whether it was already there or whether ultimately, again, that you're putting in lechatchila. So I will say, a really interesting halacha. So therefore, I will say, what essentially comes out is as follows over here. So let's kind of put this halacha together. So what we have over here is once flowers are cut, I'm just going to use flowers, but really you could apply it to any plant you want, right? Once flowers are cut, they're no longer subject to the malacha d'oraisa of zorei. Excuse me. There's no longer any zorea. Okay, so now the most we have is a potential drabanon. And therefore, again, when does drabanon apply? So again, everyone agrees drabanon, then the isra drabanon will apply if the flowers will blossom. I don't know if blossom is the right term, but you understand, like the bulbs will open up as a result of being put in water. Then I will say, so then the other machlokis, or everyone also agrees that filling the vase with water, right, or exchanging the water, or putting in more water, ultimately, again, is going to be tircha yisera. What's the machlokis? The machlokis is, can you put the flowers in lechatchila for the first time in a prepared vase on Shabbos? Second opinion says yes. First opinion says no. That's our machlokis. Good. So take a look at number six. The Shaar Tzion comments on this and he quotes over this second opinion. This second opinion, quoted Mishnah Berurah, who allows you to put flowers into water, even lechatchila on Shabbos, says, so he's quoting, it's the Prima Gadim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says, Ve'efshar, diyesh lismoch al zeh, im shach ach lamin dami ba'od yom, kevan she'ein bahem prachim, ve'les ba'zeh chashash da'oraisa. Shabbos, this is very interesting. So let's use our exact case. Our exact case, I brought my wife home flowers for Shabbos, right? I forgot to put them in the vase before Shabbos, but the vase was set up. So the Shaar Tzion himself says, and I come home from shul, and then says, oh, I forgot to put them in water. So what am I allowed to do? So again, it's a machlokes. So generally with a machlokes like this, you'd say, you know what? Better not to put in water. The Shaar Tzion says, yeah, you can put it in water. You could put in water. You could rely on the second opinion that allows even lechatchila placement of flowers into water on Shabbos. But again, with the caveat that what? With the caveat that the flowers are not going to bloom or blossom once put in the water. Incredible. Now, I will say, I'll show you something interesting here. Which is, we're going to see an interesting contrast here between Shabbos and Yontif. So take a look at number 7. Shabbos says, so this, remember again, the Shulchan Aruch made reference to Simin Taf Reish Nun Dalet. In source number 4, the Shulchan Aruch says, see, Simin Taf Reish Nun Dalet. So here it is in number 7. Mekabelas Isha Halulov Miyad Bina Umiyad Bailo Umachziroso Limayim Vitosif Alov Mayim Im Tsarech Avalotach Lifamayim. So what's it? Listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch says, a woman could go ahead and receive the lulav. Now why the Shulchan Aruch, you know, phrases it as a woman could do it, and anyone could do it. In other words, you could take your lulav on Yom Tov after you came home from shul, and what can you do? You could put it into water. You could put it into water. Apparently, it keeps the lulav fresh. Right? You could put it, not only that, you could even add in water into the lulav vase if you need to. However, you can't exchange the water. You can't change the water on Yom Tov. Ubachalamaid mitzvah lahaklifam kadeshiyashir lach behadar or vihidar, right? But on chalamaid, it's good to change the water so that the lulav remains moist. Now what's interesting about this? Here, what do you see on Yantiv? Lechatchila, everyone's agreeing that what? That you could put the lulav into water, and not only that, but you could what? Add water. Mishnah Berurah number 8 says, Velo gazvinon mishum hashakas zeroim. So I will say, just interesting to see that halacha lemaisa, this din derabanan of Zorea only applies on Shabbos, does not apply on Yom Tov. So just an interesting distinction. Take a look at number 9. So that is an interesting discussion. So some posts can bring down, that this is Dafka Din and Lulav because it's a Chafzav Mitzvah of the day, and that's why the Din Derabanan is suspended. Others say what it's just saying is that on Yom Tov, the Din Derabanan of Zoreah doesn't apply. So Barsha Kivanta, it's a bigger machlokes. I didn't really want to get into that right now because whatever, it's Hilchos Yom Tov. But just for illustration purposes, take a look at number 9. Avalo Tachlif. But even on Yom Tov, you can't exchange the water. He says, the Tarachu L'takune Mana. Ultimately, because I will say once again, that's a lot of effort. He says, V'imutra la'amidun l'chatchila b'mayim, ayin le'el simin shin la'amidun. So we'll say, look how these two simonim in Shulchan Aruch play off each other. Now we'll say, so if you notice over here, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Taf Reish Nun Dalet, right? The lashon in number 7 is, mekabeles isha halula miyad b'na miyad b'ayla, u'machziroso l'mayim. Machziroso means what? You're putting it back. What about if, let's say, the lulav wasn't in water over Shabbos, and I want to put it in lechatchila for the first time? So now the Shulchan Aruch says, Ayin le'el simin shin lamed vav sif yud alif, or be Mishnah Berurah sham. So again, I will say here, if you notice the Mishnah Berurah over here by Hilchos Lulav, references us back to our Mishnah Berurah simin shin lamed vav, where it quotes the Machlokes, are you allowed to put a plant or flowers into water lechatchila on Shabbos? He goes, says Mishnah Berurah sham, v'hinei b'Shabbos, asalau tziyom imayim demuktzuhu, kid l'kamas. Okay, this is a separate part. Obviously, this is on Yom Tov. We're talking about over here by Lulav. Because on Shabbos, of Sukkis, a lulav is mukta, right? Hoktsasa la mitzvah, and therefore ultimately again cannot be moved at all. Okay, so I will say so. Really, so lemaisa, what do we do by the flower case? Lemaisa, what do we do by the flower case? So I will say so. It would seem to be that obviously lechatchila, it would be best to go with the first opinion, namely make sure that flowers are in water before Shabbos. And again, really the allowance is that if you remove them, you could put them back in. But again, you can't change the water. You can't add more water. If for some reason you forgot to put the flowers into the vase before Shabbos and the vase is prepared, Shaar Tzion says, okay, you could be mekel and you could put the flowers back in. But of course, all of this assuming that we're not talking about flowers that have the ability to blossom, right? For the bulbs to open up. But obviously, if it's, which I think is most flowers are like that, but I don't know. It has the ability to open up any time. But again, because you don't know. You don't know, right? If it's a type of bulb that could open up, again, you want to tell if there's a kind of plant that you know only opens up, you know, 48 hours later, I don't know. The halacha doesn't seem to distinguish between that. It seems to, lashon seems to be that it's a din in the category of plant, or the din in the category of flower. Then according to everyone, you would not be permitted to put, even return that back to water on Shabbos. Good. Take a look at number 10 on both sides. Another category here. So this is the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi here is in the midst of an involved discussion regarding Zorea. And one of the things that Yerushalmi brings up as one of the examples of Zorea, if you look at I underlined it on your sheet there, right? Number 10 is underlined. Ha'osebatim? Good. Osebatim means that in order to facilitate growth, literally you make a structure over the plant to facilitate growth. What the Yerushalmi is introducing us to is the concept of protecting a plant so that it grows is also a din of Zorea. So for example, just to give an example of this, let's say again, if I have a plant and the sun is very strong, so I want to go ahead and hang a tarp. Let's say, again, I will say, assuming that I'm doing it in a way where it's not an ohel, I'm not erecting. All right, so let's assume all that, right? So that notion of creating something that protects the plant from sun or from dangerous air, that's also called Zorea, because it makes sense, because Zorea is any activity which facilitates or enables growth. Oh, excellent, Bark. Happy, you're on fire tonight. Good. Hold on to that for 2 seconds. We're going to see that. It's coffee. That's the secret. Okay. I'm sorry. Blinds in a house. Good. We're going to see. Blinds in the house, we're actually going to get to Emirat Hashem a little bit more next week. We're going to talk about that. But the greenhouse actually is explicitly stated in Shemir Shabbos. We're going to see in just a moment. So we'll say, take a look at number 11. Asur lechasos mishtala. Bechol mechasa shu. So we'll say literally again, you can't cover. Mishtala is a nursery. Makom shemagad lemot smachim seirim. A nursery. You can't go ahead and cover a nursery with any type of cover. V'chein asur lahasir mechasa. You can't remove the cover. In other words, obviously, again, the goal of the cover would be protect the plants from sunlight, right? The goal of removing the cover is to expose them to sunlight. So you can't do that on Shabbos because that facilitates growth. V'zos mishum sha osekein miskaven letipuach hatzmachim. Because obviously, if you're doing this, why are you doing this? You're doing this because you want to facilitate growth. You want to help the plant life, the vegetation, the flowers. So we'll say, so this is just like another offshoot of this malacha. So now we see again, doing something which quote unquote protects the growth of the plant or facilitates, right? Blocks out the sun, allows the sun in. Ultimately, again, is going to be Zorea. Now we'll say, now watch this. Aval. But if a person wants to walk into a greenhouse, here it is. So mutterlo liftoach as hadalas o lesogra. You are allowed to walk in, right? In other words, let's say you're allowed to walk in and walk out, right? Because obviously, again, that's not, even though there might be a benefit for the plants like that, it's not that it's just not, it's more that it's just not your kavana. It's more that again, that halacha l'maaseh, again, that's just normal activities of daily living. So therefore that, I'm sorry? But the notion of going in and out ultimately is considered to be activities of daily living, and therefore Allah Almighty says mutter. We'll say, take a look at the footnote. Yes.
You have no business being in there on Shabbos because it's all mukta anyway.
There's nothing to say that I can't walk through my greenhouse. You know, I just want to walk. I want to enjoy the plants. Nothing. In other words, I'm not working there. I'm not doing anything. I just want to spatzir. That's fine. So we'll say, take a look at the footnote. So the footnote, Lamed, he says over here is as follows. He says, Vim osekin kedelim noa rikuz yeser shalchama mishtala, mishum shiyesh chashash atzmachim shabayis kalalu, nira deshari betanai shiyaser samachas lefnez richas hashemesh. Shabbos said, this is actually very interesting. See here, Shmir Shabbos Kilchus says like this. So remember again, in the case that he's referring to over here, is let's say I have a cover over the nursery. Right? So I want to remove the cover, remove the cover, to allow in the sunlight or to block out the sunlight. See, he says something very interesting over here. He says, so let's say again, I'm doing so because I want to, I don't want the plants to overheat. All right, so just, we're not going to get too into this right now because I think this is, you know, very into the agricultural side of things. But he's saying about, say, if you could imagine for just a moment, let's say again, the person wants to remove a cover over the nursery, right? So technically speaking, the way he could do it if he wanted to is remove it before the sun comes up on Shabbos. So technically speaking, if you're to remove it, and are essentially at a time where there is no net benefit to the plant life, then ein achinami, that wouldn't be zoreya. Okay, that's all he's really adding in over here. Again, there's a lot of interesting lumdis in this. A lot of interesting lumdis. He quotes, if you skip down a little bit, he says, I put this on here. You'll look it on your own. We're not really getting into this. What I want you to take from this is ultimately, again, the Yerushalmi introduces us to osebatim, that even creating protective things over the plants, ultimately, again, is a form of zorea as well. So therefore, again, the ramifications for the nursery and the greenhouse. Good. We'll say now, in 12 and 13, which is going to be the last part of our share, which is going to lead us into next week's share as well, I want to deal with one other case, a really fascinating case that is actually going to have a lot of fascinating repercussions in a number of different ways, specifically as follows. Sometimes, all right, a person has a sukkah, so people sometimes have what's called a shlak over the sukkah, right, which essentially is a tarp that you could roll out over your sukkah. This way, again, when it rains, you unroll the tarp. Again, leaving aside if there are potential binyan issues and how you avoid bona issues, we're leaving on the side right now. But now again, I let's say, so Baruch Hashem, I'm sitting in my sukkah, I see it's beginning to rain, I roll out the shlak, I roll out the cover. Now it finished raining, I want to roll back the cover. Excuse me, what's the problem? The problem is when you roll back the cover, what's going to happen? Water gets on the ground. Water gets on the ground. So the Shaila Bosai is halacha l'maisa, so how do I deal with this? What do I do? Now remember, obviously putting water on the ground is going to be zorea. So how does one deal with this particular issue?
Doesn't the same water come off your chair, your table, anything you move or touch or when you get in there afterwards?
So I think it would be the same shali. You'd have to be careful. In other words, if let's say I go into my sukkah after it rains, and now let's say I had a plastic tablecloth on my table. So now I have to go ahead and wipe. So I have to be careful. In other words, I have to be mindful about how I'm wiping that off. And that goes into Huzer Brian's idea over here about what happens if something goes onto the, you know, the concrete and it flows off. You have to be mindful. So yes, it could be the same shaila. So I'll say, so the question over here, so what do you do? What does one do, or what are my options in a scenario like this? I want to show you something very interesting. Take a look at number 12, and actually this is a really fascinating discussion. So the Mishnah Brura, unrelated to our topic here tonight, in Simin Reish Nun Gimel, writes as follows: says Mikol Makom Ba'amira Le'ini Yehudi Dehavishvus Deles Bo Maisa Lo Mach Marinan Kulehai V'Shari Af Bepsik Reisha. So I'll say, let me take a step back over here. The problem is, you'd be tempted to say, I should have really explained this before I read this. You'd be tempted to say, there's really no problem with me removing the sukkah cover, the shlak, right? Why? It's not my kavana, right? I don't have any kavana to water the ground. What's the problem with saying that? What's the problem? Psik resha, right? The water is definitely going to go on the ground. So the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting. Mishnah Berurah says that amir lenachri by psik resha is mutter. So you could ask a guy, you could ask a non-Jew to do something, right? Even though, again, it's a psik resha. Again, especially where there's a more acute need, you'd be permitted to do that on Shabbos. So therefore, the first approach, ultimately, again, to understanding what you could do with your shlak is you could have a non-Jew go ahead. You could ask him straight out. Ask him straight out to go ahead and remove it. It's a psik resha. So amir lenachri by a psik resha, ultimately, again, is going to be mutter. Now I say I want to show you something that is a little bit more even of a potentially lemaisa example of this, more than just the shlach. Look at number 13. This is a great piece. We'll say, let's get number 13. B'shachacho lahotzi es ha'ar shebesoch refrigerator be'erev Shabbos. Tell me this doesn't happen to everyone. At some point in time, could happen right on vacation. What happens? You forgot to remove the light from the refrigerator on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so now what do I do in that type of scenario? So you'll see why I'm bringing this down over here. So Rav Moshe writes as follows. He says, Hine, kishiyish ba mekarer shenik refrigerator, or electri, shenidlak bepsichas dalas hamekarer, v'nichbe beskiras hadalas. So now you have a refrigerator, and the refrigerator has a light, and the light goes on when the refrigerator door is opened, and it goes off when the refrigerator door is closed. V'shachol milikach esor misham be'erev Shabbos, and I forgot to whatever. And I think now in the refrigerators now you can't actually take out lights, but you could tape down. You could tape down the thing or. Yeah, I think now with the new refrigerators, you can't. I think everything is like built in. Yeah, but you can whatever. You tape down like the little zach, you know, that pushes in. That's whatever. But whatever it is, you forgot to do what you were supposed to do on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so what's the halacha? He says, "Vaday asur leftoach shari psik reishu shevaday nidlak." So we'll say. So first of all, let's understand. You can't open the refrigerator, right? I can't open. Why can't I open the refrigerator? Psik reishu. So psik reishu. Okay, v'hugam nechalo. Now we'll say, now, not only is this a psikresha, but what? It's a psikresha d'nechale, right? Why is it d'nechale? Well, it's a beneficial psikresha. Why is it beneficial? We'll say, it's always beneficial to have light in the refrigerator. In other words, no one could say it's not beneficial. It's not true. It's not true. It's always, well, whether I need it or not might be a secondary issue, but Lamaisi can say that it's not beneficial. So we have a real problem over here, because not only that is it a psikresha, but it's a psikresha denechale. It's a beneficial psikresha. Okay. V'im lo yadu shiyeh shama aro paschua. I will say, let's say a person opened the refrigerator, and you know, this happens, where a person, how do I remember that I forgot to take out the light before Shabbos? Ta-da, vahiyar, right? In other words, it's Shabbos, and I just discovered what I did. Asra lisgar. So I'll say, the problem is you can't close the refrigerator door. Shahare vaday nichbe upsik reishu. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, if I go ahead and I close it, that's also going to be a psik reishu. Va'afim lo nechale nami asr. Now we'll say, obviously, here's the difference. With opening the door, it's a psik reishu dinechale, right? With closing the door, it's a psik reisha delo nechale, right? Because in other words, when you close it, I don't care. Yes?
If it's a swinging door, can you just take your hand off and whatever happens? Some of them just close kind of on their own.
Yeah, I guess so, right? In other words, yeah, if you have like a refrigerator that just like closes itself. Yeah, I guess so. Again, you're still going to be stuck with opening it again. But in a chinami, that could work. Yeah. So look what he writes. He says, "Va'afim lo nechale nami aser v'choshkin she'efsha shegam nechalo sholahafsin mashiyal lehadalekes ha'ar kishu muskar she'in lo tzorach me'ar." Fine. V'mikar ma'achalim she'echinu l'shabes nimtza sham. So now look. If at the end of the day, I don't need my refrigerator. Okay, fine. So there's nothing to worry about. He says, but what if, which is most commonly the case, the food you need for Shabbos is in the refrigerator? So what do I do now? Nimtza sham yesh lahatir liftoach al yedei nochri. Interesting. But Moshe says, you could ask a non-Jew to open the refrigerator door. V'anochri yisalek gamez ha'ar, mishum shegamzeh hu tzorech kedei shiyuchlu likach l'su'ud ha'shnia. So we'll say, not only can I ask the non-Jew to go ahead and open the refrigerator door, but what else could I do? I could ask him to remove the light. I can ask him to remove the light once he's there. Kedei isa b'ramo, as the Ramah writes, Shemin Ayin Reishvov, Siv Beis, Dinogin l'hakel l'tzorech gadol, ba'amir l'anochri, afilu b'malocha gimura. So we'll say, because again, this goes back to what we saw in number 12 as well, that Alocha L'maisa, Amir L'Nachri, in a case of Psik Reisha, is ultimately going to be permitted. Now again, what Moshe adds in over here is, there has to be a Tzorach. Right? There has to be a real need. So obviously, again, just asking a non-Jew to do Malacha just for without an acute need, that wouldn't be permitted. But but you're allowed to do Amir L'Nachri even for a Psik Reisha, if there's a real Tzorach. Va'psicha, Mutra Ayidei Nachri, Mishum dechivan she'eno miskavin lahad lekaar af shub sikresha mutar lomar lenachri bisofo. So this is actually interesting, I will say. So now Rav Moshe adds in this piece over here. He says, the act of having the Jew open the refrigerator door is absolutely permitted. Why? Because again, I will say, that'll be a case ultimately, again, of a psikresha, where Amir Lanachri is going to be permitted. So now Rav Moshe makes the following distinction. To ask the non-Jew to open and close the door, so that's easier. That's easier because that's Amir Lanachri in a case of psikresha where there's a tzorech. Where it gets a little bit more complicated, ultimately, again, is asking the Nachri to go ahead and take out the light. Because the act of taking out the light is a Maisa, as opposed to opening and closing, where whatever happens with the light is just a Psikresha, not just a Psikresha, but it's an act that occurs kind of Mamela on its own. The act of removing the light, ultimately, is a real Maisa. So in that case, Rav Moshe says that Halacha LaMaisa, really, one should only ask the Nachri to take out the light if there is a significant need. So I'll give you the example of this, that it could very well be that if it's possible for me just to ask the Nachri to open the refrigerator door, I'm able to get out what I need, and then have them close it afterwards, then fine, just do that. Let's say I have a whole house of company. So again, I'm going to need the refrigerator opening and closing the entire Shabbos. That would be a case of Tzorech Gadol, and I'd be able to not only ask the Nachri to go ahead and open the refrigerator door, but I'd be permitted to go ahead and ask him to undo the light as well.
Yeah, when you ask them to undo the light, can you do it the...
Yeah, straight out. Yeah, you don't have to hint.
Right. If you can't undo the light, that's the case.
Yeah. If there is a need, in other words, all Rav Moshe's distinguishing is like this. If all you need essentially is like a one-time fix to get into the refrigerator, get out what you need, and that's it, that's all you need, then don't ask him to tamper with the light. But if you know you're going to need ongoing access to the refrigerator, then yes, you could ask the Nachri to tamper with light, whether it's with magnets. Sounds like some very fancy refrigerators over there. And with the Edelman's vacation, all right, it's beautiful. All right, so again, if it's magnets or whatever, you'd be permitted. But again, there'd have to be a situation of need over there. That's the chap. Okay, so again, he goes on to talking about, here Moshe gets into, in general, opening up refrigerators, which is an interesting discussion, not our topic for now. I will say, the only reason I'm bringing this down is because here's an application of our concept. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, if you have the shlak over your sukkah, you're permitted to go ahead and ask a non-Jew to go ahead and remove it for you on Sukkis. Aye, the water is going to fall to the ground. There's a psikresha. You're right, but you're allowed to ask a Nachri to go ahead and do something, even if it's a psikresha, specifically in a situation of need. In an acute need, you could even ask the Nachri to do something straight out for you, right? But if it's not such an acute need, the opening and closing of the refrigerator would be permissible. So in general, there are other cases by the refrigerator. What if you don't have access to a Nachri? Right, this happens where sometimes, again, a person realized they did not turn off the light in the refrigerator and there's no Nachri around for me. So again, there are poskim that bring down that one could open and close the refrigerator with a shinui, right? You know, doing it like that. And you're essentially mitzarif a whole bunch of kulos in general about what electricity is or LED lights are. Again, with a shinui, not ideal, far from ideal, but there are technically ways to navigate in that situation as well. I'm sorry? Could have a katan. I will tell you that in general, you know, having a katan dumalacha, one always has to be careful with that, because what seems like a great idea for the adults could be disastrous chinuch for the children. But that's a possibility as well. Yep. Correct. But it's a psikresha, because the light is definitely going to go out. Correct. Remember again, even though it's malacha, once something is a psikresha, so by definition it goes into that category by itself. You no longer have the kulas of other categories. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. Shkoyach. That was great. So we'll spend one more week on Zorei Amir Hashem next week, and then We'll continue on in Meretz Hashem.